Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Thursday. We all know the feeling of the moment finally arriving for something we've anticipated for a long time, right? That's what we're looking at today with Jesus and his disciples. We've been with Jesus on that Passover evening as Jesus spent extended time with his disciples trying to prepare them for what he knew would be happening in the hours ahead. They, of course, had no idea. Jesus said, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." John chapter 16. From our vantage point, 2,000 years later, of course, we know all about what happened that Passover Easter weekend, and in the days which followed. But for these friends of Jesus, can you imagine how confused they must have been that Thursday night? Jesus continued, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. A time is coming, and in fact has now come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me." John 16, verse 28 and 32. Oh my, do you hear Jesus predicting his soon return to heaven? We know that happened in Jesus' ascension, which took place 40 days after his resurrection. But these disciples could not imagine what Jesus was saying. Do you hear Jesus predicting these disciples would scatter, run into the night? Well, they could not imagine that either within only an hour or two. As Judas and a mob came to arrest Jesus in the garden, the disciples ran like frightened children. Jesus could see the confusion and perhaps fear on their faces. So Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16, 33. I wonder how often those words of Jesus have been comforting, encouraging, and helpful to you when you faced challenging, stressful situations. It's so important for us, my friends, to remember that Jesus is always watching, fully aware of all that is happening in our lives, especially in our hearts. And God wants us to take courage, especially in difficult times. May I give you three important ways to take courage in hard times? First, take courage that God the Father is our loving Heavenly Father, and he is sovereign and all-powerful over all things. Nothing is happening outside of his sovereign permission. Second, take courage that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is interceding with the Father for you and me, especially when we face difficult situations. Third, take courage that the Holy Spirit of God, who is alive and vibrantly powerful in every redeemed child of God, is ready to sustain you and me through any and all difficult situations. He's ready to give us peace in the storm, truth in the doubt, answers in the questions. John the disciple tells us that as Jesus drew to a close this very challenging and final Thursday evening teaching with his disciples, Jesus turned his face toward heaven and began to pray out loud. Jesus wanted them to hear what he was saying to his heavenly Father. It's important for us to listen also, because what Jesus said in that prayer pertains to you and me. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Do we hear that Jesus understood the pinnacle moment of his earthly mission had arrived? It would only now be minutes before Judas would come and Jesus would be arrested. Do we hear Jesus wanted to be sure God was glorified in every moment of what was about to happen? Jesus continued his prayer to his Father. "For you granted him," that's Jesus, God the Son, "authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." John 17, verse 2 and 3. Do you see Jesus declaring that he has all authority over all humanity to do whatever will bring God the greatest glory? Do you see Jesus defining eternal life with God as rooted in a sin-forgiven relationship which draws us to really knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ his Son? Jesus continued praying, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. John 17, verse 1 to 5. Do you see Jesus is declaring that his earthly mission of teaching God's truth, living a sinless life, preparing his disciples to take God's message to the world, is very nearly complete? Jesus, of course, knew that the only remaining thing Jesus had to accomplish was becoming the atonement sacrifice for our sins by dying on the cross, be buried, and be raised to life on the third day. But do you notice Jesus' request that God would glorify Jesus in his presence? What did Jesus mean? Well, yes, Jesus would soon be returning to heaven to resume his glorious reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe Jesus was determined to bring his Father great glory, especially in these last hours of his torture and atonement death. Jesus knew he was about to be betrayed by one of his own, abandoned by his disciple friends, mocked by religious leaders who should have honored him, beaten and flogged by Gentile soldiers, and finally crucified. Jesus desperately wanted to bring great glory to God even through all that horrific physical pain, the emotional humiliation, and the spiritual warfare, which was beyond anything Jesus or any of us have ever experienced. Pause. How high of a priority in your life and mine is bringing glory to God, especially in the very difficult times of our lives? Let's pause right here with Jesus and his friends. What a delicate moment. May I urge you to read John 16, verse 32 through 17, verse 5, two or three times, and look closely at your life situation, asking Jesus to help you see how he wants to bring glory to his Father through your life today.